Amen.
And then, you know, you can worship the Lord. You don't have to come to church. Just do it here. You can do it. You should do it here. You can worship Him just in everything you do. Right? In everything you do. Well, I'm going to go ahead and change the service into ministry. And I appreciate that song. Like I said last week, I really enjoy seeing our young people reach out to the Lord. You know, when I was a kid, Brother Perry would always try to get the kids to sing. And sometimes he would, sometimes he wouldn't. It was always just seemed like an embarrassment, or not an embarrassment, but, you know, something to put you on the spot. But, you know, God receives the worship of the little ones, too. Amen. Sometimes out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, to me, is perfected praise. Wonder why that is. Because the older folks get set in their ways sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what? I want to be like the new skin that He can put new wine in. I want to be flexible with the Holy Spirit, let Him do what He wants to do. I don't want to have a set pattern of things. You know, probably, I don't know, you've seen these skins that look like made out of a goat. Here's the neck, and it comes down, and they got the feet tied off and the head tied off, you know. So, you know, an old skin probably has that same shape to it, and so does the new ones. The new one can be flexible with the wine, whereas an old one gets old and brittle. And you know what happens if this is a good lesson for us, but if it gets hard and brittle, and the good wine will leak out,
yeah,
and it'll be wasted. So, you know, think about that, an old starchy experience in the Lord. You know, somebody gets starchy in their ways, it's not good.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit can leak out of a person when they're like that, so we don't want that. Now I want to talk to you about God's purpose in you. There's a lot of scripture to read. I'm not sure if we'll just read them all at once or kind of we'll just see how the Lord wants to direct us through these scriptures. But let's begin reading in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. We'll start there. She will have it on the board for us. God's purpose in you. How many believe He's got a purpose in you?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not going to be real deep about it. I just some things here that I wanted to share that I was reading. And we're going to just see what the Lord will do with that. But Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." And you can say amen to that.
Amen.
Declaring... Now, if you want to know about God, we say He tells the end from the beginning. Okay, well, this is where you're going to find it. He is God. There's none else like Him. No one else. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure." So think about what He's saying there now. He declares the end from the beginning. And in His process of doing that, He is saying, "My counsel, it's going to come to pass. It's going to be done. I'm going to do my pleasure." Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 31. It's like Brother Dan said a while ago, one of these days we won't have to put up with no more of these attacks and sicknesses and things like that. Yeah. Christian's got a bullseye on his back. And we know, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" That's a good question, isn't it? We know what the answer is. Nobody can be if God is for you. If God's on your side, no one can be against you. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 12. And then maybe we'll go back later and read some more out of Romans. But Ephesians chapter 1, all the way to verse 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Remember, it says all, right? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's at the end of the seven church ages, okay, in the dispensations of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. We want to pray just for a moment. Lord, we bow our hearts to you now. After reading these scriptures, Lord, looking into them, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will come now, Lord, and quicken us, every fiber of our beings, into your word, into heavenly places. Lord, that you allow each one of us to see something tonight, Lord, that we need for our experience, Lord, to make us a better people, a better Christian. We ask, God, that you'd help us tonight, Lord, just to get ourselves out of the way, that you would accept our attentive hearts and ears, Lord, and speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. God's purpose in you. We read there in Isaiah chapter 46 that God declares the end from the beginning. That'd be neat to be able to do that, wouldn't it? But you know, there's only one like me. He says, there's none else like me, right? Nobody else like me. Nobody can do this. And this is the description he gave. To declare the end from the beginning. And he goes on to say that his counsel shall stand. And I think I already mentioned it. But so in his declaring the end from the beginning, obviously he knows the end from the beginning in order for him to do this. But in doing that, he is expressing his counsel and saying, hey, I know what's going to happen. It's going to be thus and thus, and I know it so well that I'm going to declare it. And as we get on into the scriptures, we're going to find out that he's absolutely going to predestinate it, and it's going to stand. It's going to come to pass, and nothing's going to stop that at all. So he declares those things. He declares the end from the beginning. Now, I believe God had a purpose for each one of us. And I'm going to go through these, unless the Lord changes the way I'm going now, this is going to be a short sermon tonight. But so God had a purpose for each one of us. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we was reading there in verse 4, and here's his purpose, okay? God had a purpose for you and I, and I'm going to read some of them real quick. That we, this is his purpose, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love. Yeah. You might not be that way before the world. They may not look at you and see that, right? But the scripture said he's predestinated us, right? Actually, I'll read it. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the world was, he chose us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And remember, we keep saying this. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he says to us, be ye holy, for I'm holy.
That's right.
And really what he's saying, because he's the only holy one, we don't have it in ourselves, the only way we can be holy is for us to be him.
That's right.
So he's saying, you be me. Right? Just allow me to come into you and let you become me and me become you. Because he said, you'll know that in that day I'll be in you and you in me. And I'll be in the Father and so forth. And you'll know in that day. And I believe that's this day. Of course, you can say that in the entire New Testament period, because the Holy Spirit dwelling in his people. But certainly in this hour, in this end time, where he, not just the gifts of the Spirit, but the person of the Holy Ghost descended, came down, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in an end time message, and is now embracing his people in a form that he didn't do through the seven church ages until the seals was open. Yeah. So we know that he's magnified. So we were chosen in him before the world was, that we would be holy and without blame before him. I mean, when my children walk before me, right? I watch them, I behold them, they walk before me, we walk before him. And the purpose was is that as we walk before him, he would see us as being holy, right? And without blame.
Yeah.
That's what the scripture said, that we would be without blame before him and in love. And so it goes on to say in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 1, we read it, and I'll read verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now you remember what an inheritance is. It's something given to you by your father. Not your earthly father, but by your heavenly father has given you an inheritance. That means that something that he possessed is now given to you and it's now yours, right? So, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. So there's another purpose for him. That we, he did these things so that we could be to the praise of his glory. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
So that something about us would be a glory and a praise to him. So everything, the attributes that he is, you know, he's the invisible God that, you know, you can't see with your naked eye, that sort of thing. But he desires to reveal himself to the world. He desires for his glory to be made known. He desires that there be a praise to his glory.
Yeah.
Right? And that's he wants you to be that praise.
Amen.
Right? He wants you to be that praise, and he wants you to be that glory. Not just in what you do, but that others might see you and glorify God in you. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I still in the scriptures?
Yeah.
That they might glorify God in the God that they see, like they did the apostles, you know, they could see, you know, and that's one thing that should happen in our testimony, people around us. They should be able to say, you know what, I see God in that man. I see something, at least, maybe they won't call it God, but they can say, I see something in that man that I don't see in everybody else, or in that sister, or that woman that I don't see in anybody else. So that we could be to the praise of his glory. And then we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, talked about being conformed to the image of his son, for whom, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. There it is again. That our walk and our Christian experience here on earth would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. And so I want to show you something here, that in all these things, when we're looking at this, it's speaking of predestination. It's speaking of before the world was. It's speaking of something that was the counsel of his own will that he decided to do.
Yeah.
And all this purpose he has for you, it all comes out of something that we call predestination. Comes out, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. It all comes from the very desire of his heart that he put forth to come to pass.
Yeah.
And we are that thing that he sent forth and wants to come to pass, so we can be through the praise of his glory and honor and be conformed to the image of his son. And so we read there, we haven't read it yet, but we may read it before it's over with. But in Romans chapter 9, it talks about Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated.
Right.
Before either of the children were ever born. And so the scriptures talk about that, and it says in here, in that spot, Romans 9:11, it says, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calleth, that calleth. It was said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. So that's what I want to show you, that the purpose of God according to election. So we're talking about God's purpose in you and how it's all from predestination and foreordination and all that, that we see emerging from that is his desire for you to be these things, the praise of his glory and being conformed to his image. So see, it's coming from that. And so here it says that that the purpose of God according to election might stand. So he's got, Paul is saying we got these things that have taken place here with Jacob and Esau and the different things he was referring to there. And he said these things happen and they are there to establish the fact that that God's purpose according to election stands. It's a real thing. It's not some fake something or other. He's trying to establish here that there is a purpose of God according to election, and that purpose stands just as sure as anything tonight. So God's purpose is going to happen, but that purpose comes from predestination. Right? Comes from a desire of God. It comes from according to election. Predestination, election. So you find out that his purpose is according to election. Now, I've said this many times. If somebody is voted to be, you know, I may have to change this. I keep saying this. If someone votes someone in to be president, he's elected by the people, then who's going to come along and tell him that he's not elected?
Yeah.
Because the determining voice has selected him.
Amen.
Right? So, I mean, if God has elected us.
Yes.
Then who's going to come along and say, you can't be that, you can't have that office?
Right.
Well, sure I can, because the one who's the determining voice on the matter has made it so.
Amen. Right.
Of course, you know, and you understand why I said that, because they're stealing all the delegates and they're doing all that nonsense. They're telling the American people, your vote don't count. And I don't care if they do hear this. No. You understand what I'm saying? There is still principles from the Word of God, and there's a determining voice that says you're elect. So we find out that this purpose of God, according to election, stands. So God has an election, and from that election, is you can see his purpose as it comes forth in us. So his purpose is according to election. So now, we find in the Scriptures there, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, he said, being predestinated, that's us, being predestinated, according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now think about this. And this is a good point to consider, especially the young people. This is a good point to consider, because in God's economy, we are to honor the elders. We are to honor the hoary head, the gray-headed man, because he's been around and he's got wisdom. And we, the young, is to honor that and rise up when they come in and give honor to that man, because he's been through a lot. And there's a lot of things you could learn from him.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's in the Bible, and it's the way it should be. The younger should always seek counsel from the older. So much so that even God played it out. Right? So it says it right here in the Scriptures that God just didn't, well, you know, I'm just going to do it. It actually talked about how that God worked things after the counsel of his own will. And so you, how many remembers in the Scriptures when it talked about how that God said to Abraham, when he swore to Abraham, he couldn't swear to by any higher than himself, than any, you know, because he's the highest. So he could swear higher. So he said, surely blessing, I will bless thee. So God swore by his own self, because there was no one greater. And the Scriptures talk about how we usually go and we swear by someone greater. Right?
Yeah.
But God couldn't go to anybody greater, because he's the highest.
Right.
So he swore by himself. He swore in himself. I'm swearing by myself, is what he was saying, right?
Yeah.
Well, the same thing here. God said, you know, I have a pattern. I teach my people this way. For to seek the counsel of the older or the wise. And God says, there's nobody any wiser than me. So he sought his own counsel, and he works his will after the counsel of his own will. And so in other words, he sits down and says, Will, what do you think about this? What do you think about redemption? How do we want to do this? And his own will said, well, this is what I want. This is the way I would do it, right? And he worked this purpose after that counsel, the counsel of his own choice, of his own will. You know, the devil don't like that. He doesn't like it for a people to believe that God is ultimate.
Yeah.
You know, that he is supreme, and what his purpose is going to come to pass, and there's nothing anybody can do about it, right? Not even you and I can change that. Okay, so God took counsel to himself, if you want to look at it that way, because there was no one else he could do. And so he placed that out in himself and writes it in the scriptures to find counsel, but he became his own counsel. He is his own counsel. So there's no one else he could go to. So we see now that he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose, and I'm speaking his purpose in you. And that purpose is according to election, and election is according to foreknowledge.
Yeah.
Right? So we read the scripture there that those he foreknew, he did predestinate. Now, I know predestination, like Brother Rem said, he said, I know it's a bad word in among Christian circles or whatever. It's, you know. But you know what, Brother Daniel? I have never been offended by the word predestination. I have never been offended by the concept that perhaps God predestinated me to be a believer.
Yeah.
It does. It's never bothered me. I'm serious. It has never bothered me. But I know people that will jump back and almost want to fight you.
That's right.
When you talk about, and it's a word that's in the scriptures, they're not even reading their Bible. Yeah. Because it's very clear, especially in Romans 9, it's very clear that God has a predestination. But to try and wrap our heads around it, we want to try and understand how it works. And it's like this, God could predestinate because he has foreknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I gave out a riddle to all of our young people, that you come back this Sunday, and the one of you that can give me that riddle, I'll give you $100. Okay? Now, if I had the ability to know the future, foreknowledge, and I could say, you know what? I know that Elijah is going to come back with the right answer. Nobody else is going to have it. I know it because I have foreknowledge. Then you know what I could do? I could stand here tonight and say, Elijah, I predestinate you to be the one to come with that right answer. Mm-hmm. And if you were sitting here watching me and you're thinking, what? Well, you just delegated him the blessing to come forth and rejected everybody else. I didn't either. All I'm doing is declaring the end from the beginning because I have foreknowledge.
Yeah.
Right. You see what I'm saying? So, but it's a paradox because it works both ways. You understand? Because God does declare these things, and you're looking at it and say, well, then he is ordaining it. But then you look at it and say, but we've got free will. We've got free moral agent. He doesn't take that away from us, right? So he knows who, by free moral agent, was going to accept him and believe him. It wasn't just waiting around, see what he knew, and he died for every one of those by his foreknowledge. He died and paid the price for every one of them, and every one of them is recorded because there's something about his ability to be able to declare the end from the beginning, and he declares it. It'll be thus and thus. I have a purpose. I have a certain people. And I can see by foreknowledge, they're going to believe me. They're going to come forth, and they're going to be in my image, and they're going to be to the praise of my glory. I can see it, and therefore I decree it, and I send it forth from my word, because my word doesn't fail, and my counsel will not fail.
Yeah.
He's speaking of the trueness of his word, that it cannot fall to the ground, because he has foreknowledge to do that. And so that's what he does. So the scripture said that those that he foreknew, he predestinated. He says, you know what? I know who they are. And furthermore, I ordain them to be thus.
Yeah.
And it looks like, well, he just, you know, that he doesn't take away free moral agent. Okay? By foreknowledge, he can declare those things. So by foreknowledge, he predestinates. And by the way, as we go through these, you'll see these are all past tense. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Those he foreknew, he predestinated. Mm-hmm. Those he predestinated, he called. Those all past tense. Okay. So this all happened in his mind, all happened when he played this all out in Christ Jesus before the world was. This is where this took place. He foreknew us. He predestinated us in Christ before the world was. And that was his purpose. That was his election. And that's what his purpose comes for. It's by election. It's from election. And it's by foreknowledge. And so, then it says, those that he predestinated, he called. Now, it's interesting. He declares it. And when we get into Romans 9, if we read that, you'll see where he's talking about Pharaoh. For this very purpose, I raised you up, that I might show my glory. Okay? That's what he says. And so you look at that and you go, man, that's harsh. But he goes on, he says, but thou wilt say unto me, why did he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Remember that? When he says, it's not of him who willeth or him who runneth, but God showeth mercy. And he said, for this very purpose I raised up Pharaoh, that I might show my power, my glory in him. And you'd go, if we're all just doing what God wants, then why would he find fault in us if we're all doing something bad? Right?
Yeah.
And what did he say? But no, who are you? The reply is against God.
Yeah.
Can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? You see what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And so, by God's foreknowledge, when he declares it and he sends it forth as a blessing, when he does that, it just almost looks terrible, but if you keep it in the right frame of mind of him having foreknowledge and sending it forth, declaring the end from the beginning to show his immutability, then, you know, it kind of keeps you from getting all mixed up. I hope that that works out for you. That's, yeah. So those that are predestinated, he calls. Now, so what I'm trying to, the hump I'm trying to get over here is that he knows by foreknowledge what what's going to happen, and he declares it, and then he goes forth and he begins to interact with his creation to bring to pass the very thing he knew they were going to do. Yeah. Now, if I wanted Brother Dylan over here, if I wanted him to sit over here the next time in service, when we show up Sunday morning, then if I know what's in him, then I know what I can put in his pathway and let him choose to go the direction I want him to go.
That's right.
So he comes in Sunday morning, he goes to come over here and sit over here where he's sitting right now, and I've placed a big old spider there in his chair. He's like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to sit there. I'll just walk back here to the back and sit down back there. But I put a scorpion back there. No, I don't want to sit there. See? By his choice, he's not sitting here. He's not sitting there. By choice.
Right.
And when it's all over and done, when he comes and sits where I want him to sit, because he's got something in him that desires the things that leads him there. He hates the things that he's going to encounter here. In other words, he goes to sow bad seed. He said, I don't like that. He goes to sow sin. Oh, I don't like what that's. I don't like that. You understand? He goes here. No, I don't like that. He comes to the place in his own walk by his own choice. I don't want to serve the devil no more.
Yeah.
I want to serve God. And so God will orchestrate events in his life. He put things out there, events of this and events of that. And those, some of those experiences are terrible and horrible, but God uses every one of them and directs a person right into the kingdom of heaven. Right? Never broke free moral agent one time, but brought that person to the position he predestinated them to be because he foreknew them and saw them to be there to begin with. And to be just, he goes around and he gives it to other people and they don't respond. It's because he knows what's in there. And what's in there is his own nature.
Yeah.
His very own life is in there. And all he's doing is calling to that life. With his word, with events through a person's life, he calls to that seed that's down in there that's his own life. And that seed, that eaglet, responds to Papa Eagle or Mama Eagle. You see what I'm saying? So God's working out his plan of predestination, and he does all these things. He knew Pharaoh wasn't going to believe.
Yeah.
Right? He knew that. He wasn't anything new. He declares the end from the beginning.
Right.
So he takes and it says those he predestinated he called. So now, if he's predestinated us to be saved and to be there with him, then obviously he's got to get involved with our life. Mm-hmm. So those he foreknew he predestinated, those he predestinated he called. He calls them.
Right?
He calls them. He predestinated them. He could see them. He predestinated them. So then he calls them. And there's your call. There's your call of the gospel to come and be partakers of eternal life and to be part of him. So those he predestinated, those he called. So he calls us to surrender. So there's your gospel. Right? There's your gospel to come. And those he called, he justified. So he's not just going to call you and say, come be part of me and leave you in a sinful condition. He has to justify you. And remember, true justification only came out in our day. True justification is to be in a position where you never did it in the first place.
Yeah.
Right.
That's never been declared to any other generation until our generation when an indicated prophet said it. You never did it in the first place. Right? He brought the truth of justification, the loose end that Luther didn't tie up. This prophet brought that loose end. And because if Luther would have been able to bring the truth of justification, Luther would have said it to his people, you never did it in the first place. But Luther didn't do that. It was left for this day. So true justification. So those that he predestinated, he calls. Those he calls, he justifies. So he calls us because of foreknowledge. He calls us into the gospel, and through the gospel, he washes us of our sins, gives us an experience of true justification. He wipes away the record against us so clean that there's nothing there that can be found to say you was ever a sinner to begin with.
Yeah.
Now, remember what we said? That we might be holy and without blame before him? Is he doing it?
Yeah.
When he calls us, and he justifies us, and he puts us in a position where even he looks at it and says, they never did it. What are you talking about? There's nothing. There's no record nowhere. What are you saying they did this? They didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
They're holy and without blame before him. Mm-hmm. Not before the world. Not before your own memory. Not before your family members or your friends. But before him in love, because love is what produced it, right?
Yeah.
So this is the way it works. So he calls us. And he justifies us and puts us in a position where there's no record against us whatsoever. And then it says, and those he justified, he glorified. Now, here's where it comes in. He calls you, cleans you up, and then puts his own glory upon you.
Yeah.
So that we can be to the praise of his glory, right? So so we can be conformed to the image of his Son. Right? So Paul's just talking about it. This is the way he does it. He does all these things. He foreknows you, predestinates you, calls you, justifies you, glorifies you. I don't feel glorified.
Right.
I don't look glorified.
Mm-hmm.
But what God is looking at is already glorified.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? What he looks at, he doesn't see blame. He doesn't see a mark. How can he see a mark when the blood of Jesus Christ is there? If you say, well, the blood's applied, but yet there's marks there, then you're saying the blood's not sufficient to cleanse. The blood is sufficient to cleanse. See?
Amen.
It cleanses everything.
Right.
So God does not see our sin if we're under the blood. We stand before him without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle.
Yep.
Right? He's going to present to himself this bride, this wife, without spot or wrinkle, without any such thing like that. Because he hath made her, right? By predestination. He has given these things to her. She's been ordained to receive it as an inheritance. It's just no matter which way you slice it, It comes up to God's purpose to take us and put us in a place where we are sinless before Him. And that so He has no qualms against us. He has nothing to pick on us about. You see what I'm saying? Now, as His child, if you're looking at it from a standpoint as a father and a child does something wrong, they get in trouble, they get whippings. Doesn't mean they're not a child. Right? My wife can aggravate me about something. Doesn't mean she's not my wife. Right? You see? Because the relationship of a parent with the children is stronger than the failures. Yeah. And the relationship between a husband and wife is supposed to be stronger than the failures. And the relationship that God connected with you and I is stronger than any of the failures. Yeah. He made it that way. Right? That's the way it works. So as you can see, what we first read there, that we should be holy and without blame before Him love, He's accomplished it. He's done it, right? That we should be to the praise of His glory. He's done it. And it's all according to the purpose of His own will that He's done these things. Remember in St. John chapter 1, they were born not of the will of man, flesh or will of man, but of God, right? Wasn't my parents that decided I was going to come here. It was God decided it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that's why we're here. God just used your parents as the physical faculties to bring that to pass. But what He put in you when you was born is the real you that was predestinated and was given that inheritance before the world was. Yeah. And it was just a matter of time until that call came. Where God took that purpose of His own will and He come down and He said, now, I've declared it. I've written it on a book. This name's already there. And I'm coming down and I'm going to interact with this child of mine. And I'm not going to step over their free moral agency one bit, but I'm going to interact with them and I'm going to call them and they're going to respond and they're going to come and I'm going to put them in a justified state where they can walk before Me without blame, without blemish, without any problems, walk before Me holy and without blame.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that, and He calls us to that, and He says, and now I'm going to put My glory upon him, that they're going to have a walk and a life that people can look at them and see Me.
Yeah.
And people are going to look at them and glorify Me. They may never see Me like you know, what we would think, oh, I've seen Jesus, but they'll see Jesus every day.
Yeah.
Right? So this is what He's done. And so He justify them, and then He glorified them, and all of this, like I said, is past tense. He did all of this in His thinking, and that was His purpose, and He sent that purpose down to you.
That's right.
He sent that purpose into this world. Now, He said in Isaiah, His purpose is going to stand. It's going to come to pass. He's going to do His will, and He's doing it. He's doing it. I don't care what the world winds up being today. It's terrible out there and it's getting worse, but it'll never touch that redeemed.
Yeah.
It'll never touch that redeemed. The darker it gets, the brighter this little light shines.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And so when the time's right, He'll come and take us away from here.
That's right.
So when Paul said this, you know, those He foreknew, he predestinated, He called, those He called, justified. Those He justified, He glorified. And Paul says, so when we look at this and we can see that God purposed it from the beginning of the world, declared it by predestination, according to His own election, He sent this forth. By His own will, He sent this forth. This was His desire. It wasn't my desire, it wasn't your desire, but it was His desire. And when you can see that God sent that forth, and now He's interacting with us and bringing that to pass, He calls us, right? Justifies us, glorifies us. Paul says, when you can see this whole plan and see how it works, you've got to say what Paul said. You've got to say, if this is the way it is, then who can be against us?
Yeah.
Right? If God, he says, what can we say to these things? What shall we say to this? When we understand this purpose here, what shall we say to this? There's only one thing we can say. That if God be for us, who can be against us? And he goes on to say, we didn't pull it up, but he goes on in that same chapter, chapter 8, and he says, for I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, things present, whatever, any principality, power, anything out there, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
No.
Not a thing. Not one thing. So if God is for us, who can be against us? So you see, God declared that his purpose shall stand. This is not just a, well, whatever happens, I'll just take what I can get. That's not, God doesn't run his business that way. You know, that's what Brother Brandon said. God doesn't run his business like that.
Yep.
Right? He didn't just say, well, you know, maybe they'll come, maybe they won't. I'll die just in case there's some.
Yep.
No. He died knowing every name that was good, that was there, every right. predestinated one. He knew they were going to come. And he's down here, his great gospel message interacting and bringing to pass what he foresaw and declared to be.
That's right.
Amen.
Knowing that the same gospel won't touch those that's not on that book. Right?
Yeah.
You got to look at it through God's mind, his eyes. And you realize that he's got to bless people on this earth. And they're just blessed. That's just all there is to it. So we must begin to say that. You know what? If God be for us, can Obama be against us? He might be able, he might successfully take a bulldozer and bulldozer over our house with us in it. But can he be against us? He can't touch that redeemed. He cannot touch that thing that was predestinated and given to you and I before the world was. I personally think God's going to come and rapture his people because that's what the Eagle message is all about. But I'm illustrating a point there that nobody, not even Satan, not even death itself right. can touch you.
Right.
Nothing can touch you like that.
Right.
Only what God's declared. And so it's not just a, well, it's whatever happens. It's a definite thing that he has predestinated. And he puts into action and the events to declare and reveal what his purpose is. So he interacts and brought the gospel and all that to declare what his purpose was. And you are that declaration. When you came forth, you became the image and the glory of God on this earth. When you came forth and gave your heart to the Lord. That's why, you know, when Brother Bram talked about the ink falling into the bleach. And he talks about how that ink, you know, it falls in there and the bleach and it just disappears. That bleach, that ink becomes, it disappears in the bleach, right? And so you're stirring it in there and all, it just, how many has everybody ever seen that? They pour it in there, stir it, and you got this clear bleach or whatever, and you put ink in there, and it just vanishes almost as soon as it goes in there.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch this. And I'm like, I wonder how much you can put in there. You know, how much ink could you actually get in there until the bleach couldn't do it no more? I don't know. But Brother Ram talks about this, you know, that sin and our life of sin, and those, it's like ink. And when it's dropped into the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood takes that ink, and he said it breaks the molecules down. And in one place, at least one place, Brother Bram says, the ink actually becomes bleach.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you a question. If you take black ink, just black as pitch, and it's ink, and you put that in bleach, and that ink becomes bleach, and you could reach in and pull out that ink that is now bleach, what could you do with that? You could put more ink in that and it would clean up because it's now bleach. And this is why that our testimony of overcoming sin helps other people come to the gospel.
Yeah.
Because what was a sinful life that we're ashamed of, but when we give our testimony, it has a bleaching effect. Why? Because the blood has cleansed us from that, and that testimony is now able to go out and share with others, and other people, their lives coming in under that testimony can be cleaned also.
Amen.
You see what I mean? And that's what we want. We want our lives to be have a cleansing effect to those around us. And so, you are that glory of God. You know, the Bible says that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
That's right.
There is an overcoming power that helps others when you tell your testimony.
No.
Right? When you tell how God, just what I just said about it becoming bleach itself, when you tell that testimony of how God delivered you from drinking or smoking or whatever it might have been and the whole nine yards, and you tell that and those people can see that in you, that begins to work on them. Because they're seeing and hearing the gospel in reality form. Not just some blank confession with somebody that possesses it.
Yeah.
They see that and it begins to take away because if they have the right attitude for it, obviously if they see that and recognize and accept it and say, you know, there's something real there, that begins to work on their heart. And if they follow that, they can be cleansed also because they're listening to a testimony that will cause them to overcome. And so you are that declaration. So what was God's purpose was to have a people, right, who could walk before him without blame, walk before him holy and without blame, right? Be conformed to the image of his son so that they look like him, they act like him, and I don't mean physically, but spiritually speaking, they look like him, and they are to the praise of his glory so that people see their lives are a testimony. Like I said the other day when they posted some, said, well, here's a list of all these groups that you probably don't know, but they're Christian groups. And I said, I'm not even going to read it. I'm not even going to read the article because if I can't tell they're a Christian people right out front,
right,
then they're not, mm-hmm, right? Not that I'm their boss. Not that I'm their judge.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We're not saved by works. The works is a definite indication as whether or not you have been saved.
That's right.
Right? Because you will know them by their fruits. And if there is no fruit, I am sorry. If there's no fruit of Christianity, there's no glory and image of God being emanated. It might even be just a little bit. They might be a quiet, timid person that never talks. Some little lady that just comes in and don't ever say anything. But somebody can see a God in her or else her testimony would be vain.
Sure.
Right? But God don't run a program like that. He moves upon people and somebody sees that testimony, right? Somebody will see it and so they'll see that fruit. So you'll know them by the fruit. And if they don't have fruit showing it, if they're totally, completely embracing the world, you can't tell them from the world that I'm sorry, they're under a deception. They are under a deception and thinking that they've gotten an experience. And this is the thing Brother Branham had to hit. This is what he had to hit so hard. He did the same thing Jesus did. Jesus didn't cut any slack to the religious leaders. He tore them to pieces, but yet he'd be found eating and going to the houses of sinners and publicans and preaching the gospel. Right? Brother Branham had to cut no slack with the religious leaders of this day because of what they've done. Right? So that was the thing he had to hit because if you listen to the religious leaders, they'll have you repeat after me. They'll have you saying you're a Christian, but there won't be any experience in you to deliver you from the habits of the world.
Yep.
There won't be anything happening. That's why these nominal churches, they still drink, they still smoke, they still dress like, you know what? Because they never had that. And yet they say, oh, I'm Christian. And the world identifies that as true Christianity.
Right.
Ain't no wonder the world's gone the way it is because that's what they're looking at. But in the midst of all that, God's got a true church that has a true experience and they know him and the power of his resurrection and he has raised them up from a life of sin and death and others can see it, those that are around them. And so that's what we're here. We are to declare him, to fear God and give him glory, as the scripture says, to give him honor and give him glory. And so I'm glad God had a purpose for me.
Amen.
You know, I'm probably just like everybody else. I probably don't see about my own walk and my own testimony, my own position with the Lord, I probably don't see 1% of what he's truly given me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've said it many times. I pray, Lord, I don't want to get there on that day and find out that I really had the ability to impact. I'm going to say it differently now just to try and get the point across to you. But I don't want to get there on that day, you know, and I'll be saved because I'm a believer, you know, but I don't want to get there and then look back on my life and realize that I packed enough of God in me
that I could have affected people as much as Brother Branham did.
Yeah.
And didn't do it. I don't, and I really, when he says he'll wipe every tear from my eye, I think we'd be happy that we're there, but I think that we all would be able to look back and go, I wasted so much. I could have done so much more for him.
Yeah.
And that would grip us, and he'd have to wipe that away from that tear from my eyes. Right? You see what I'm saying? I don't want, and that's what I say, Lord, I don't want to get there and find out that I could have done a whole lot more, but I spent all my time beat down, not believing who I was.
Yeah.
And not get anything done for you.
Right.
When I had time on this earth that I could have changed lives drastically, but because I was under this deception of the devil pounding me all the time with the unbelief of the world, and I never got high enough to really see that I could be my potential. I don't want to do that. I want to know who I am completely and be who I am completely.
Amen.
That I can touch lives the way I should completely. Right?
Yeah.
Even Brother Branham, sitting back with his hands behind his head, 50-some-odd years older, says, boy, if you're going to do anything for God, you better get it done. And I'm thinking, you know what? If there was anybody that could have kicked back and took it easy from then on out, it would have been him. Because there were already millions of converts from his message, from the message that God gave through him. And that's because when he got caught up, and there was millions of them, you know. And by the way, you know, he saw us over there, right?
Yeah.
Right? So, who was that that told that to them? I don't know if it was here or the testimony. Brother Branham asked a certain sister, said, would you like a birthday present?
Brother John Bailey.
Yeah. Would you like a birthday present? She said, well, sure, Brother Branham. He said, I saw you there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you on that other side. You talk about a birthday present.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Word says it. The Word is telling you and I the same thing. The Word's telling us that we were there. Amen. So, I'm glad God had a purpose in us. And yes. I want to serve that purpose.
Amen.
I want to serve it well. And it's like, you know, I get older and every day I seem like I've got another pain here or another pain there. And I'm like, man, time's running out. I want to get something done for the Lord. And I suppose everybody will feel that way right up all the way to the end. Maybe that's the way it should be. We'll always have it that way. But I still want to walk in His purpose. And you know what? The devil knows God has a purpose for you. That's why he fights you.
That's right.
The way he does. He fights you just like that so hard. Because he knows you're a child of God. Brother B.J. Ryan, I know y'all don't know him. You knew him, right? Brother B.J. Brother Ryan, he'd stand up here and he'd say, if the devil's not fighting you, it's because you're already on his side. And I thought, yeah, there's a lot of wisdom there to that. So, it was an interesting brother. We had something going on here one night. It was evil. Somebody come in here and it was evil. Evil trying to take over the service. And I was sitting over there and there was a bench. Brother Ryan was off over here, you know, and all this commotion was going on, you know. And I was like, this is absolutely from the pits of hell, you know, is what I was thinking. And he just kind of slowly, just without anybody noticing, he moved around. He sat down beside me. He said, Brother Tony, something's wrong here, and you know it. The Lord showed him. He said, and you know it too. You know, he'd already seen. He just had a little bit of a discernment. He didn't show a whole lot of it. And I thought, what do you mean? You know, you're the elder. What are you telling me? I know it. But he knew that I had picked up on it.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? He knew that I had picked up on it. So, but that's what he'd say. He said, if the devil's not fighting you, it's because you're on his side.
Amen.
And that's right. So, let's just bow our hearts together. Lord, we thank you tonight for this time that we've had together in fellowship around your word. Lord, I pray that you would just bless it to the heart of your people, your children tonight, Lord. If something would have been said tonight or was said tonight that they could lay away in their heart that would mean something to them, Lord, when they get out and they're in the trenches and they're in the in a battle seeming like the fight of their life. I pray, God, that something that was said tonight, Lord, that you would come in your great Holy Spirit, like you have said, the Spirit of truth, and you'd bring to remembrance that which you have spoken to them tonight out of your word. Lord, that it would give them courage, give them strength in that great hour. Lord, when maybe their body feels bad or the enemy's coming down upon them, I pray, God, that you would quicken these words to them, the words of eternal life, and they would rise up, Lord, with the strength and victory that you've given your people. We pray, God, that you'd go to those that are not with us tonight, those that are part of us, Lord, those that are sick. Ask, God, that you touch each one. Make us well, Lord. You said in your word that you heal us from all of our diseases, every sickness and disease. Lord, we confess that over this group of people, over this church family and our physical families. Lord, the healing that you purchased for us. We proclaim it now in the name of Jesus Christ and accept it. And ask, God, that you'd go before us for service this weekend. Lord, just prepare our heart for what you have for us. I know not what it would be at this moment, but we're just trusting you because we're your children, Lord. You give us our daily bread. We thank you for these things and ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We find us a song to sing. Let's go to 137. There's power in the blood. Amen. Oh, yeah.